Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So look, this chair's just arrived. Okay, yeah. We were going to record the podcast. The doorbell rang. I thought, oh, it's Ben. Excellent. What jollity we can talk about in Ukraine.
No, Ben was late again.
He was late. Yes, he was late. Giving time. This could have all happened live on the podcast. Giving time for some American to show up and say, hello, is Estrella live here? And I went, for the moment? And he goes, I've got a chair. And I went, it's not an Adirondack chair. And he went,
yes, sir. Yes,
he went,
it
sure is.
Is.
Meanwhile, Esther was upstairs getting commissioned for the time for some piece about the national mood.
Being depressed.
And he brings in this Adirondack. And it's really weird because yesterday, on the first sunny day of the year, we stood out at the back of the garden, literally yesterday, and Esther goes, we should get an Adirondack chair. And I said, no, we shouldn't. And I thought,
you didn't say no, we shouldn't.
Did I not?
Nope.
I didn't think it would arrive the next day.
Neither
like,
did I.
Less than 24
I
hours.
I thought it was going to be a 10-day delivery window, but it turned up. But then Jonathan, the very nice man who made and came around the next day himself with my chair. I call that value.
But we bought
service.
A little patio out there at the back with a little view of the vegetable patch, and I had a little bench, and I thought we'd sit there and have little chats about stuff, much like this podcast, you know, chat about stuff, shoot the breeze. And you went, no, we're putting one big chair for me.
Yeah.
And now
no, I put it there for you. I put it there for you. So that your poor bum doesn't just like wear away to nothing sitting on that horrid, like little, not designed for
it's
a human being.
It's like a
being.
Park bench chair.
Yes, but park benches are designed like that because they don't want you to sit there for very long.
You want to get a little plaque saying, Giles, 1969 to 2022, lived here, made my life a misery, XXX.
Last podcast, we discussed the idea of you doing 12 unacceptable takes on Ukraine. And it was posited as a satire on everybody with their stupid hot take and news saturation and all of that. And plus, there were these things that you wanted to say because you always want to say the thing that no one else is saying.
I think that's key. When one has to write a column and one is expected to be funny / satirical, I look at the media saturation. Support for Ukraine is a given. What if, and you try and find, what if 12, yes, so 12 unacceptable takes.
I didn't want you to do that because I thought it was quite a tricky conceptual point. And I thought that I just thought it was a bad idea and I thought you shouldn't do it. And I advised you not to do it and you went and did it anyway because now you're totally entitled to do that.
Because generally speaking, it's because it was risky, one way or another.
It was risky, yeah.
It was risky. People might say it's disrespectful.
Yeah.
And my feeling is always, because something's risky, is not a reason to not do it.
Yeah.
I have to be able to put up with some kickback I might get.
Mm.
But it is true that when it kicked off,
well,
I wrote the column, I was pleased with it. Things that were, in my mind, funny, because you couldn't possibly think them, such as, we should all be a bit more Putin.
Yeah.
In the boardroom, in the bedroom.
Putin.
I fancy Putin. These positions I took.
I've always been curious as to what a nuclear war would look like.
And I'd love to see a mushroom cloud over Hampstead Heath, because it might be interesting.
Yeah.
I thought, I'll tell how, it's obvious what I'm doing.
Mm.
I've written in support of the Ukraine week after, for the first 3 weeks of the war. I gave £2,000 to the Ukraine relief charity in the first week of the war and wrote about it and why I'd done it and posted the link and it was given. And then whether or not listeners to the podcast know, I reaped the fucking whirlwind for it.
Well, not quite. quite.
We reaped such a whirlwind that you started locking the front gate again. I turned on the CCTV, you know, from my last Twitter spat, but three.
I didn't start taking my anti-anxiety pills, though.
Did you not?
No, I didn't.
Well done.
I didn't even
This is the real you.
I didn't even have a Valium.
Oh,
I
darling.
I didn't even take a Valium.
Because I knew it was... you know your big, strong husband is here to sort you out, whereas previously I've been away. No, but we have a locking front gate, which now gets deployed on Saturday morning when my column is a little bit edgy. Also we have CCTV all around the house.
So
don't even bother, guys. I looked at the piece at about 8 p.m. It went up at 5 p.m. on the Friday. I looked at 8 p.m. and went, whoa, fuck. Because the first one was, people are being slaughtered. How can you write this? You must think this is, do you think this is clever? Do you think this is funny? And the answer is obviously, yes, I did think it was clever and funny.
Yeah.
I think it's less clever and funny now. Yeah. But yes, I wrote an apology. So I know people are being slaughtered. But I don't think that's a time to not write pieces, to not write satire, to not write humour. And that was that for them. And then more.
And then we have, so on Twitter, they screenshot and take out of context various things that they think will make you look terrible on Twitter. And obviously this is something that is incredibly easy to do on Twitter. So in amongst this, I'm curious to know what a mushroom cloud looks like, and I fancy Putin. You wrote this paragraph that said, I'm bored with the war now.
And I want to go back to talk about interesting things like masks and Brexit and whether Jimmy Anderson will play in the Ashes next year.
And if you take that paragraph out of context, with your head on one side, you could think, yeah, I think someone might possibly think that. And then they post it on Instagram, and that when it leaks over onto Instagram, luckily, you were able to push back properly and reasonably
Because I woke up at 7 a.m. and had thought, I wonder if it's kicked off. I was able to put an apology, a genuine apology. I'm sorry, I made the judgment call that this would be a good way to satirise media saturation. I can see now that it wasn't the way to do it, and I'm sorry. I'd also like to point out to anyone who's looking at this that there was a whole piece, and I posted the whole piece. I don't think these things. I'm not going to use the, by the way, because I don't want to sound like whinging, and they'll be listening. I'm not accusing anyone of cancelling me or trying to cancel me. They're entitled to have a go at me. But one of the really lovely things that happened was that, first of all, the person who really banged it up and made it happen and made it look like I thought this thing, accepted the apology and took it down. In the subsequent hours, two prominent Ukrainian writers posted their support for me.
Yeah.
Both of them saying my piece was funny, which was delightful. Maybe it worked better in Ukrainian than it did in English. Mm-hmm. One of them was saying, I love this one. You know, people in the Ukraine are fighting and dying for the right to write satirical pieces that are sometimes a bit shit and not all that funny and don't altogether work.
Yeah.
That's what they want. And Putin is trying to stop them having that. And the idea of closing down a maybe slightly wrong-headed, not altogether sensitive, slightly fucked up bit of satire, which had a good heart, is mental at a time when the idea is we should all care most.
And what's happened is those
two biggest, significant 25,000 Instagram followers, I don't know about Twitter because I don't look at Twitter, supporting me, and lots of people, hundreds, thousands of people now saying, go Giles, but I don't want them to be bonkers, Toby Young, freedom of speech people. I want them to be normal. To have these Ukrainians, and I don't want them to be Russian.
No.
To have these Ukrainians going, he's great. We thought it was, just so that you know, because they could see how upset it was, just so that you know, we think it was great. My main antagonist is now bullying and trolling.
Behind the scenes,
the two Ukrainian writers.
Yeah. They are bullying and trolling actual Ukrainians.
Yeah, so, and I've had this morning one of those Ukrainian writers literally telling me that she has been trolled hard and contacted and threatened by this other person who doesn't like me. And I always love this when I get a big trolling like that. They all go, yeah, and his podcast called Giles Corran has no idea. I mean, look, you couldn't make it up. You go, no, you could. And I did. I'm going to say a column I'm not going to write, but I commented under a piece by Hugo. Mm-hmm. Hugo wrote a decent piece, as he always does, about something which I can never remember, about the sanctions. And they've got no iPhone, and they've got no Facebook, and they've got no Instagram, and they've got no Twitter, they've got no McDonald's, they've got no Coca-Cola. And someone commented under the line, how can I gain entry to this paradigm of a perfect society?
Yeah.
And I replied to him under Hugo's column, which Hugo won't thank me for, because nobody wants Giles Corran engaging below their line. But so now that's a column idea. And I thought, now, can I go there? Can I say, is that a place? We live in this world. Things are happening. The news is full of it. I'm looking at the little bits. I condemn the invasion of Ukraine. And I stand with the people of Ukraine. I have a flag in the window. I've given lots of money to them. It's a terrible thing. And I only hope and pray that Putin goes away. Okay, but is there humour in the fact of the possibility that what sanctions are doing to Russia is turning it into a place that we all want to live?
I mean, yes, it does.
It's just these appear to be the problem. So if I were to write such a satirical piece, how do I flag that it's satirical? So, calls it satire, but it's not really. This would be a fun little satire to do. Imposing the sanctions on Russia could take that. Now, I make it clear that I don't really want to go to that world by saying, I make it, as I thought I'd done last week, make it so extreme that nobody could possibly believe it, or I would do the kind of thing that a more rational, that a more careful satirist like Hugo would probably do, which would be to go, of course, there would be downsides, such as, for example, the repression of public opinion and news and vote and other personal freedoms. Also, acknowledge that, but go, surely there's something about the sanctions that's good. By that time, for me, even as I described to you, it's fallen flat.
Every week, it only depends what kind of stomach you've got for a fight. That's all. And Camilla Long was saying, what did she call it? She called it undying bollocks, the thing that happened to you on Twitter. And she said, what Giles must do in that circumstance is double down. And I said, yes, of course. If he was a single man and didn't have a family to look after on the weekend, he probably would. And you would just spend all weekend fielding it online.
So, well, what's interesting is two people stood up for me big time online, which is Piers Morgan and Jeremy Clarkson. Okay. Yeah. And Piers said something like, who I know professionally stuff, but he's not somebody who owes me something. No. And I've written pieces when I've disapproved.
He's
of
quite
Piers.
Careful not really to be mates with anyone, I think, Piers Morgan.
But he's mates with everyone, whichever way you look at it. He goes back to his local pub where everyone loves him. Piers is very keen. Whenever this happens to me and I bump into him, he says, have you got somewhere you can go?
Yeah.
Where, like your local pub where everyone likes you? In my case, no. But Piers has, which is a great solace to him. Yeah. But listen, Piers says something like, don't let the fuckers get you down. It was a difficult piece, and I think you mostly handled it.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
Can I? Can I write that? I mean, shall I just do it? We're not around this weekend, actually. So you can come around and do what the fuck you want. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you got any actual ideas?
I saw a story that 6,000 steps turns out to be enough.
How are you going to turn that into a column?
Well, thanks for your help and support. Let's talk about an idea of yours.
Okay, fine. Mrs. Boring.
I know you are, but what am I?
Mrs. Perfectly Boring. Okay. Tuesday Times, page 15. Meet Ms. Perfectly Boring, the bird-watching accountant, okay?
That sounded so boring that I skipped it.
You shouldn't have done. So this is research that was published in Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin.
Who's written this story?
Tom Whipple.
You see, hunched over his periodicals.
Yeah, exactly. So scientists have conducted a study into the attributes of the people we perceive as boring. So, and Tom Whipple's done a very handy sort of pull-out box, and it says, this is an example of someone who's very boring. Phoebe lives in a town and works as a tax consultant. She likes birdwatching, studying maths and smoking. She also talks too much. Big red flag, I talk too much. A little bit boring, Richard lives in a small city and is a salesman in a post office. He likes model railways and a strict routine. Not boring, Helen is a science professor living in a big city. She cooks, plays games and watches sport.
Really boring. And who says she's not boring? What's her name? Helen? Blech.
Yeah. To be honest with you, Phoebe strikes me as being really quite interesting and fun.
Yeah, she smokes fags.
She smokes fags. She likes bird watching. I love bird watching. Yeah. That's not boring. People whose hobbies included going to church, watching TV and animal observation were those judged the most boring.
That's just because they're old.
Now,
what
this,
is the journal of boringness?
This requires satire. This is the stupidest thing I have ever seen in my life. Although I suppose they're talking about people's perceptions and about how people's perceptions are basically wrong about everything.
So what do you say? What does the journal of people who are boring.com revealed? What has it discovered?
The research was not an attempt to find out what actually makes people boring. It was an investigation into something subtly different. What it is we view as making someone boring.
Okay, so what was your vision of the column?
What really makes you boring?
Or is it possibly,
yeah,
in terms of a sort of, you know, bringing it all over me about me, what about I have spent my life trying to be interesting?
Yep.
And I appear to have failed, or I've decided to be boring, or, you know, being unchained from the lunatic, embracing old age, looking forward to be boring. So I mean, I do write it from there, but like, I used to drink, I used to take drugs, I used to lose my temper and get terribly angry, and I'm all in the pursuit. I specifically decided when I was 15 and basically never had a girlfriend and didn't really have any mates and was not very popular, and had very neat handwriting and came top in everything and carried my school work in a little briefcase, I decided to make myself interesting primarily by making my handwriting messy, which I did overnight, by ditching my briefcase and carrying my school books in a plastic bag like all the cool kids, and like growing my hair a bit long and becoming... And I did indeed get a girlfriend and become a bit more interesting.
I do love... There is a story that you've told me which I love about how you went to a party and you got drunk and you wore a hat.
Yes.
And the hat, it was like a sailor's hat or something.
It was
something.
A sailor's hat. And
pinched it off someone.
I'd been to a school play with a sailor in it, and the hat had got left, and I didn't have any cool clothes or anything. It was a like white sailor's cap, like sort of Tony Curtis wears in some like it hot. And I put this hat on, and I went to a party and got drunk for the first time and snogged.
And you were just really kind of emboldened by the fact that you were wearing this hat.
Yeah, who's the guy in the hat? And a few people said...
That is called... peacocking. You don't know what that is. Ben knows what that is.
A couple of girls at this party, and I had many girls, said, admired my sailor's cap and asked me if I was gay. And I said, maybe. which, like, was quite, in 1985, was quite the bit, you know. And then I got a snog.
The Times, page 22, also on Tuesday, another idea for you, which is about... So this story has been everywhere, but people have concentrated on the fact that nobody's buying suits. So suits are out.
Yeah, it's because they're no longer using suits in the inflation index.
What?
That's the story.
The hell are you talking about?
That's the story.
What's the inflation index?
The shopping basket of items. It comes around every year... Where about how do you what is inflation?
Right.
Yeah, and there are things in the basket, and there's like there used to be a packet of fags, a pint of beer,
How have these prices
and every
inflated?
Year they change because of behavioural changes across society. They change. So then they bring in, they put an Xbox in it, and what's the price change? And it's taken by feature writers every year. I'm amazed you've not spotted this. It's taken by feature writers every year as an indication of what's in and what's out. So what's happened is that for the measuring of the inflation index, they are now no longer measuring a suit because they feel it to have moved on. That's the peg.
Well, I know the kind of hypothetical shopping basket you're talking about, but I always associated that with the budget. Like it, how like your shopping trolley is going to be more expensive. This VAT has gone up on fags.
That thing may exist too. But this, if you look at the story, where's the story? What's the first line?
A switch to casual outfits since the start of the pandemic has become so pronounced that men's suits have fallen out of the official basket of goods used to track inflation. Oh, right, you're right. they've made it men's suits. So they've made men's suits the story, but. Here are a list of the things that are out of Britain's shopping basket.
I'm only saying this is brilliant. Okay, but
are there other things?
Every year,
yes. Okay, fine.
No, it's
right.
Good.
Okay, you're right.
Fine.
You win.
What's
other
that?
Things that are out are donuts, coal, laminate flooring, and reference books. Now, you've got a little thing about books. Okay, so there's a thing that you can... So our argument about books, this house is lifting with books. I cannot get rid of them quick enough, and it's a nightmare. And I have also, I get slightly tense about too many books in a house, because I think no books is a bit odd. Too many books, it makes me kind of want to curl up and die. A, because my dad, although my dad is a sort of academic and does have lots of books, he feels the same way. He can't stand sort of falling apart paperback books and sort of stacks of books everywhere. He feels it's kind of bleh and untidy. And he's an intellectual, well-read man. He's read everything. I feel the same way. He keeps all his old academic books and everything. But I can't stand just sort of books everywhere. It makes me feel really kind of claustrophobic. You are more conflicted about there being lots of books everywhere. So, and reference books in particular are an issue, because nobody needs a reference book. It's all on the internet. Is there something to be done about books?
Well, I hesitate to say no.
You can just say no.
No. First of all, I write about it occasionally. I've written a big piece about I Only Kindle. And I don't, and then the same old people at the time go, oh, but I love the smell of a book. No, I write the column about people who claim to love the smell of books and the feel of books, are people who are too thick to actually read books.
Yeah.
But the piece you went weirdly steered away from the suits.
Because everybody's written about the suits. So it's not interesting. You can't do a thing about, can he sneeze under pressure? We're all looking at him. Yes, he's bored enough.
Anything. I'm not bored. Don't do the bored now thing, because we haven't had my ideas yet. Extramarital affairs should be a red flag for police recruitment. Did you see that? So in recruitment for the police, obviously, no jokes to be made about where the police are at the moment with that sort of thing. So like people who have extramarital affairs now, it's so bad you can't even join the police. So it used to be all sorts of convictions and obviously race, hate crimes and violence and bad, all these. You shouldn't have a criminal record, I think. You know, you should. But there's a piece around having an extramarital affair means that you...
you're fundamentally untrustworthy.
Fundamentally bad and untrustworthy. Is that true?
I don't know why you're asking me.
Well, we come back to the Who Wants to Be a Policeman. How are they going to make police crime dramas on the TV if you don't have people having shag? That's all Line of Duty was, or Stephen What's His Play for.
Yes, exactly. If you ban... From the police, you ban everyone who's got dysfunctional relationships, they're alcoholic and a dark secret, then you're completely trashing all the basis for...
Anyone who uses ridiculous acronyms is a red flag for the police. Anyone who says, what was it?
Cheers.
Cheers, when you're, because they're from, what was their group? SI-23.
DC-12.
DC-12. No,
that's an aeroplane. DC-14. AC-12.
AC-12. Yeah, it's the cheers.
I felt like all the Line of Duty people had a kind of... I mean, the matey, Martin Compton, had a sort of not-ish believable kind of pain back medication problem. But Vicky McClure was just, you know, she was straight as an arrow.
That is a good one off the extramarital affairs. That's the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It may be a red flag for the police, but for police dramas,
yeah,
absolute catastrophe.
Catastrophe, yeah. Very good. Yeah, excellent.
Okay, I've had it. There's another funny one. Did you see Rod Stewart?
I did. I wrote it down. Yeah.
Filling in the potholes, right?
With his boys.
I think suddenly you talk about boring, and Rod Stewart also, he collects model trains, right? It's a famous thing about Rod Stewart.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like getting to a point in your life where you're so rich and bored, you do your own roadworks. It struck me as, roadworks are the blight of all civilization. Rod's actually gone out there, got it. He was in high vis.
He was loving it. He was absolutely loving it.
Do you think thrilled. I'm building? Yeah. That sort of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, fine. He's in his road working gear.
Let me see. It's a picture.
It's pristine, matching Adidas.
He's the boss. Yes, he is, Robin. No, but he's
not the boss. No, Bruce Springsteen is the boss.
No, I mean the boss of the roadworks.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen working on the highway. Mm-hmm. Working on the highway, turning up the blacktop. Working on the highway, working
Bruce
on the highway.
Bruce Springsteen is famously that one that everyone thinks is Jewish, but he's not.
No, he's not.
Adam Sandler wrote an entire song about celebrities who you think they're Jewish or they're not Jewish. And there's a line in the Adam Sandler song that goes, Bruce Springsteen, not Jewish, but my mum thinks he is.
Okay, fine. He's not Jewish. Bruce Springsteen is the one who thinks the sort of narrative everyone thinks he's a blue-collar worker.
But he's not.
But he's not. No. So, because he's a pop singer.
Yeah. He's very, very square.
So his songs are all about all that kind of New Jersey unemployment, working on the highway, the one about the train, working on the trains. Mm-hmm. So
if you have a chance to read his autobiography, which he wrote himself, Born to Run, it is one of the funniest books I've ever read.
It's okay, but that's too much of good. That's fine. That's too much of a dog leg when we're trying to talk about Rod Stewart. So Rod Stewart. So that what you want to do is, do you think I'm
building?
Do you think I'm building? And then sailing, you have to do digging. That's not very funny. Or
is Maggie there, May.
Maggie May, and then you need to get the word contraflow into it somehow. But there's, at some level, and the point, when I'm saying Rod is not the boss, Rod is the boss of the roadworks, okay? Mm. So Rod is not dirty because there's the other, he's got six blokes who are all smoking rollies and peering down a hole.
He has got box fresh, mint green, suede Adidas Gazelles on. That is a strong look on like a muddy pothole road.
But he, considering he mostly wears
snakeskin pants,
purple jumpsuits with spangles on them. No, it's just, I don't know. It's just like roadworks are everyone's nightmare, but he's gone out and done his own roadworks. Is there a, what I want to see next is like...
He's very much a man after your own heart because you're always out there shuffling bins around and taking people's bins in who can't
doing
take
doing my
them.
Own roadwork. I sometimes move the contraflow in our road when they were doing the...
Yeah.
That broadband building works and stuff. But I don't know. It's like, what other jobs I would like to see? It's like... just like Adele driving a dustbin van. It's like famous people. I don't know. Whatever.
No, that's where I went with that as well. But I just wonder. I thought it'd be slightly heavy lifting.
Okay, other things.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, did I sound bored?
It's just like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Yes.
You have to sound interested. All the listeners aren't going to sound interested. There was one other quite fun idea. If I was going to really do this, listen. If I'm going to really. Because you used to not want me to write boring columns, remember? And now you probably do want me to write boring. So then boring columns I could write. The two kinds were talking dogs.
Yes.
You actually yawned there.
Yeah.
So where you have a story where dogs walk. And the other one is...
Oh, God.
No, what's the other one?
Cricket.
No. What's the other genre of column that I used to do?
Oh, no, prehistoric people.
Yes.
Oh.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran Has No Idea. You can listen to us on The Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.